We've been talking about guarding your passion for God. And today I want to add another word to the title, not just guarding your passion for God, but renewing your passion for God. Because some of us need to have our passion renewed. You know, we do get weary. We do get tired, whether it's emotionally or physical or mentally drained. We are human beings. Jesus became weary when he was at the well of Samaria. He was tired. It was hot. It was noon. It was in the desert. And he needed some water. He felt everything we feel. So don't be afraid of the fact that we're in this human body. We have an edge because we have the Holy Spirit working through us. And God allows downloads. If you're a little bit empty today, God will allow a refill. Hallelujah. You know, at the 7-Eleven, you get a free refill. Do you still get a free refill? I don't know. But God allows free refills. Hallelujah. Father, we commit this time to you, Lord. Thank you for helping us, Lord. Lord, you said in your word that if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that you will raise us up. Lord, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. We humbly ask, Lord, for you to bring victory in every family, every heart. Let this message be transforming, Lord. Let it touch every life today who's watching on Facebook or here in this beautiful auditorium, Lord, in sunny Florida. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'd like to quote from the Apostle, the Apostle Paul, talking about passion for God. This was a man, we mentioned this last week, he was passionate for religion, and he was passionate to persecute the church, and he was passionate with his hatred towards Christians. You know, you can be passionate for the wrong thing. How many of you know there's people in this world who are passionate, but for the wrong cause? But when Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus, he was never the same. Everybody say he was never the same. When you truly have an experience with Jesus, you will truly never be the same. And I encourage you today to renew your passion for God. Philippians 3, verse 12, and I'm reading from a paraphrase. Paul speaking, my brothers, I do not consider myself to have arrived spiritually. I'm not complete. I'm not there yet. God's still working on me in a sense. That's what he's saying. Nor do I consider myself already perfect, but I keep running with passion so that I might reach the purpose that Jesus has called me to fulfill. I love this sentence right here. But I keep running with passion so that I might reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill. Other translations say, I might reach that purpose for which God got a hold of me. God got a hold of me. You're not here today by accident. You're not saved, you know, just coincidentally. God had a plan for your life. God chose you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God took the initiative in our salvation. We love because he first loved us. But when God gets a hold of you, it's the beginning of a new work. God doesn't leave you the way he finds you. Somebody say amen. God will make you better. He'll make you the best Joe or Mary or Peter or whoever you are. He will make you the best that you can be as a Christian. And that's what he was doing in the Apostle Paul. I want to get a hold and fulfill that which God has desired for me. I don't depend on my own strength to do this, he says. However, I do have one compelling focus. Forgetting what is behind, I press on. Everybody say, I press on. Toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. When you have a vision of Jesus and you see him in his glory and you understand the depth of his love for you, I guarantee you, you cannot be unaffected. You cannot be. I mean, some of the most hardened people in the world, you've read stories of, you know, people in prison, hardened criminals, were visited by a sweet little lady from the prayer ministry in the local Baptist church. She come in there with her Bible and her tracts, and, you know, she was like, it would be like putting a lamb in front of a lion, a wolf. You know, here she comes in humble and simple and with her love for Jesus, and she's trying to win this hardened criminal. Some of them, of course, continue to harden themselves, never, but there have been some who saw the love of God. They saw the grace of God in that little woman. You see, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. It doesn't matter what your temperament is. It doesn't matter whether you feel 10 feet tall or you feel like the littlest kid in the litter, you know, the runt of the litter. God can use you when you truly have a vision from heaven, like Paul said. And then in front of kings and in front of the Gentiles, Paul said repeatedly, I have not from that day. Pastor Angela mentioned this in her message. She said, that was the last time Paul served himself. On the road to Damascus, when he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. That was the end of Paul's old life and the beginning of his new life. Hallelujah. But you see, he understood it took passion. It takes passion to win any kind of race or prize that is worthwhile. If you've ever competed, even in, you know, adolescent sports, you know it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of discipline, a lot of passion to win. And I want to just tell you this morning, if you don't know this already, it will always take passion to run with God in the purpose he has for your life. I want to say that again. It's going to always take passion. There's never going to be a time in your life where God says, you know what, you can forget about me. You could just fall asleep. You could just be lukewarm. You know, just feel sorry for yourself. That's okay. God's never going to do that. He's going to always want us to keep running after him. Hallelujah. Keep running. Oops. Wait, camera. Hi. Ran off the stage. You got to run after Jesus. Our good friend, Pastor Ron Johnson, over in Longwood, Florida, who has been such a help to this church, like a spiritual father to this church, he always says, it says, David, I'm running after Jesus. How do you keep up? How do you manage to oversee 12 churches or whatever it is you're doing? I keep running after Jesus. Hallelujah. Passion is defined as, in one sentence, I can give it to you, and if you want to write this down, passion, at least spiritual passion for sure, is to live or be compelled by deep feelings, intensity, zeal, enthusiasm, and conviction. To live compelled by deep feelings of intensity, zeal, enthusiasm, and conviction. And I want to tell you, nothing great in this world has ever been accomplished without passion. Think about it. And of course, as I said before, some of those things were very bad. Some people were passionate about evil. But how much more so should we be passionate about what is good? Come on. Doesn't the world need to see what we have? Come on, friends, look around you. Let us wake up. Let us wake up. And God's been speaking this to me. I'm not being condescending when I'm saying this. I'm not preaching down at you. I'm telling you, I'm preaching this to myself. God is saying, don't fall asleep. Don't lose your zeal. Don't lose your passion. Don't lose your first love. Be alert. Remember the first works. Remember how you loved me at the beginning. Come on now, somebody say amen. Henry Ford, before founding his extremely successful Ford Motor Company, was bankrupted and left penniless 5 different times from 5 failed ventures. Henry Ford. Anybody ever hear of Vincent van Gogh, the great artist? During his own lifetime, believe it or not, I checked this out to make sure this was correct. He only sold 1 painting to a friend of his who probably felt sorry for him because he was starving. And yet he did not stop painting. He painted after that one sale. He painted over 800 other paintings while starving and often destitute. Today, his works sell for hundreds of millions of dollars. Amen. If we had a Van Gogh, we could build our new building. Come on now, somebody say amen. I'm telling you, there's somebody out there who's got a Van Gogh. Amen. Anybody ever hear of Steven Spielberg? After high school, Steven Spielberg was rejected three times from the University of Southern California's School of Theater, Film, and Television. He wasn't qualified. And the rest is history. Somebody say amen. A few billion dollars later, Steven Spielberg is laughing all the way to the bank. And you look at this another way. So I'm trying to make the point here that nothing great is ever accomplished without focus, without a passion, without a zeal. But look at this another way. Think of all the people that you never heard of because they got discouraged and gave up too soon. There's going to be a lot of reckoning someday when people realize maybe on their deathbed, unfortunately, maybe when it's too late, I could have lived for God. I could have gone all the way with Jesus. I could have made a difference. I could have prayed more. I could have given my life away more. I could have lived more outwardly focused instead of being so wrapped up in myself. Come on now, somebody say amen. Jesus' mission and vision could not have been any more important. The most important mission in the world. And your mission is also the most important thing for you. Jesus had the most, think about this for a second. Jesus had the most important assignment ever in human history. To redeem the world. To save the world from sin. To save the world from hell, from darkness, from Satan. But every one of us who have Christ now, who has emancipated us and made us children of the light, we are part of his mission. Hallelujah. We are part of that great mission. Jesus said when he began his ministry, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." And let me just remind you this morning, this work is not done. I mean, we may have 2 billion Christians in the world out of 7 billion people. They say we have roughly 2 billion Christians. But that means there's 5 billion more that need to know about Jesus. We've got work to do. As I mentioned before, it was as a 100% man that he finished this work by relying on the Father. So can you finish your work? Yes, you can. Turn to your neighbor and say, yes, I can. I want you to say this to yourself. I can do all that God desires for me to do and for me to become by relying on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As 100% man and 100% God, he finished the work. As the song we sang mentioned this morning, Brother Matthew sang that song. He finished. He said, "It is done." He beat the flesh, the world, and the devil. And he initiated a new kingdom. So from now on, it's thy kingdom come and thy will be done. But this is a thought that occurred to me this morning. Can you imagine with me for a second, what would this world be like in 2020 if Jesus quit? In the garden. You know, Father, if it's possible, if there's some other way, Lord, for this to happen, please, Lord. The intensity of the battle, all the forces of darkness, all the forces of hatred, shame, and judgment, everything coming upon his pure and innocent body. The Bible says he sweat, as it were, drops of blood coming from his face. He agonized. He agonized in the garden. But he said these words, and we need to say this morning. Nevertheless, everybody say this with me, not my will, but thy will be done. See, we recite that, you know, prayer, not my will, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. But realize when you think of what you're saying, what it meant for Jesus to say yes to the Father. Ooh, this is getting good this morning. Hallelujah. God is blessing us this morning. Somebody say amen. So what does your passion in the year 2020 look like? If that was Jesus and his passion and he overcame, what does your passion look like? And I can say it in one sentence. It means you're going to constantly see and be led by a vision for your life that is more compelling than anything this world can offer you. I want to say that again. To fulfill God's passion and to guard your passion and to be renewed in your passion means you're going to constantly be looking for and be led by a vision for your life that does not come from this earth but comes from heaven. Like Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Somebody say this with me right now. God has a vision for my life. And now Pastor Dave's going to say, don't accept cheap substitutes. God has a vision for my life. Why accept cheap substitutes? When you're in love with Jesus and fully devoted to him, you don't need to ask what the world needs. Instead, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, all you have to do is find out what makes you come alive and then go do it. You don't have to argue and worry. I have a friend who calls me, and he's always asking me about God's will all the time. And he's, you know, it's by now he should know. He's probably in his 40s or whatever. But you know what? When you're in love with Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, and you yield it to God. Now, I'm not saying you're perfect, but when you yield to God on a regular basis, all you have to do is find out what excites you, because you don't have to worry about your passion being a worldly passion, because you can't. If you love Jesus, you're not going to be interested in sinning. You're not going to be interested in any other gods. Delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. How can I believe that my own desires are worth being passionate about? You know, should I be afraid that I'm going to go off the rails if I'm too passionate? Not if you're surrendered to Jesus. Not if he's the Lord of your life. Somebody get excited in the house. You don't need to ask what the world needs if you're full of Jesus. All you have to do is find out what makes you come alive. And then go do it. What excites you? What makes you cry? What makes you get up in the middle of the night? If money was no object and you could not fail. Think about this. This is it's not in my notes. No extra charge for this today. If money was not the object, you had all the money you needed, and you knew that you could not fail, what would you do with your life? Help us, Jesus. You see, we've made God too small. Like that song says, I have made you too small in my eyes. Lord, forgive me. Do you realize we're serving the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? Woo! He spoke and the universe came into existence. He sustains all things by the word of his power. There is no one like him. But be aware of the thief. Because passion for God is one of the favorite things the devil loves to steal. Passion, your passion for God is one of the favorite things. You know, I said this, I think, a couple of weeks ago. If a thief breaks into your house, he's not interested in stealing your cookies. You know, or the children's toys. Or maybe not even your dog, although you probably wish he would maybe sometimes. I'm sorry, though, all you dog lovers. I just offended half of the world. Maybe more. What is he after? He's after your jewelry, diamond rings, money, coin collections. So what is the devil going to go after in our life? He's going to go after our passion. When you're enthused about Jesus, when your love for God is strong, he hates that. It scares him. When you worship God with abandon, with all of your heart, it scares the devil out of the devil. Hallelujah. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And let me tell you, he has all kinds of ways to distract you. Very, very deceptive. He's a deceiver as well as a thief. I heard a story, true story, from a friend of mine, a missionary in Europe. He told me when he was visiting in Italy, the guide, the friend of his, I guess he was a fellow Christian, who was taking them around with a group of young people through Italy, told them this true story, that there was a man in a certain street in a very upscale neighborhood who had a pretty fancy European car. And one morning he went out and he found that somebody had bumped into his car mildly, a scratch or a fender bender, and left a note on the car and say, I'm so sorry that I hit you. And I don't have any money, but somebody gave me these two opera tickets. So this is my way of paying you back for the damage. I'm sorry, I don't have any money. But somebody gave me these two opera tickets. And, you know, opera in Italy is like the Super Bowl here in the United States. Somebody, you ever hear that expression, an Italian opera? A lot of the operas were written by the Paisans. Somebody, I'm saying this because I'm Italian, by the way. So, but anyway, so this guy said, can you imagine this? We can't even score these tickets. Nobody can get these tickets. This is sold out. So it was, wow, what fortune, you know, what a cool coincidence. So sure enough, a couple of weeks later, they go to the opera, enjoy it, had a great time, went out for dinner, spent the whole night. They come back, and their wealthy apartment townhouse is completely emptied out. The thief came and knew they would be missing, knew they would be at the opera, backed up a truck, and completely emptied out the rich man's house. This is a true story. And I hate to say it was the Italians that did this. But you know, there are crooks in every in every culture, right? But how clever. You ever hear of that expression, devilishly clever? He wants to rob your zeal, your passion for God, and the real calling of your life. And whenever you're not serving God to the full capacity and giving God less, you're letting the devil win. You know, I've had counseling with married couples. You know, you've heard me say this. I've been here 7 years now. And sometimes I would get frustrated, not know what else to say to them to try to get them to get along. And then I said, if for no other reason, don't let the devil win. The devil's no friend of yours. Come on, somebody say amen. Why would I want to let the devil win? Has he ever done anything good for you? So why would you let him win? By destroying your home, destroying your marriage. Fight the good fight of faith. Say amen, church. Look around you. The world needs passionate people for God. We have this treasure, the Bible says, in earthen vessels. You know, I don't have the most outgoing temperament. I'm not, when I preach or when I, you know, I'm kind of an even-tempered person, and I always admire people who are the mighty, you know, type A personalities and bombastic when they preach, and I admire those people. I love to take notes. But you know what? God uses me with my laid-back personality too. Hallelujah. And he'll use you and you and you. Whatever kind of personality you have, it doesn't matter. What God is looking for is the love that you have, the faithfulness you have, the get up and go that you have. Hallelujah. We've all been knocked down, but the question is, are you getting back up? Hallelujah. Are you getting back up? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Paul could say that. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hallelujah. Henceforth is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord our God will give to all who have been faithful, to all who love him. Jesus confronted the evil and injustice of his day with courage and conviction. Don't we live in a world that has some evil and injustice still? Who's going to stand up? Who's going to pray for the oppressed? I heard of a woman who has been taken advantage of by unscrupulous contractors. a single woman, and the house is upside down. Who's going to speak up for that? There are kids that are getting strung out on drugs, joining gangs. There's an epidemic of pornography on the internet. There are people filled with hatred marching in the streets, and others who hate those who are marching. There are people who hate the Republicans. There are people who hate the Democrats. What the world needs is Jesus. Hallelujah. Just a glimpse of him. He will bring joy and gladness. He will heal all of the sadness. What the world needs is Jesus. Just a glimpse of him. And how are they going to see him? Through us. Through us. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Jesus gave hope to all people. Are we giving hope to anybody? Jesus spoke the uncompromising truth of God. Did you know that Jesus had a Bible? The people today that criticize the Bible, did you know that Jesus preached from the Old Testament? Jesus quoted, I forgot what it was exactly, 72 times? Somebody may know. But Jesus quoted from the Old Testament, which was his Bible, approximately 72 times. Verifying that he believed the Bible was the Word of God because he quoted from it. So if you got people telling you, oh, the Bible is an ancient book, it's just a fairy tale, it's this or that. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus believed it was the Word of God. Amen. And this is what I love the most about Jesus. He said to Philip, I believe it was, he said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Philip said, Lord, show us what the Father is like. Give us, you know, Peter, James, and John went on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Jesus transfigured. They saw him in his glory. But there's more than power that you need to know. God has power, but he is also a God of love and mercy. He's merciful and mighty. Say it with me. He's merciful and mighty. And this is what I love. He modeled the greatest love that the world could ever know was found in Jesus Christ. And he told his followers, if you want to know what God is like, God is love, look at me and you'll see what the Father is like. And he knelt down and he washed the disciples' feet and he forgave Peter and he restored Philip and he went beyond, above and beyond to show that there is no greater love. There is no greater love. Hallelujah. I want you to come back, Matthew, if you would. We're going to continue next week. But I want us to enter a time of communion with Christ now as we prepare to receive communion. And if you have not received your little communion cup, please raise your hand. Ushers will help you. If you're at home, I hope you have some crackers and some juice and that you could join us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. At the cross. Can you sing that a little bit for us, Matthew? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about renewing your zeal for God by the power of the Holy Spirit. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Lord, can you truly put a smile on my face? I'm asking these questions that maybe you ask yourself. Will you finally answer this prayer? God, will I finally find a friend or somebody who loves me for who I am? God, does my life have any meaning? What am I living for? Does my life count for anything important? God says, yes. I can tell you assuredly, after following Jesus for over 50 years, I can guarantee you that there is no better life. There is no better Savior. There is no better prize out there. There is no greater treasure than to know him and to make him known to others. Hallelujah. We're going to sing At the Cross. Sing the first verse with us, or whatever that is, Matthew, if you could help us. We don't have the words, but do your best.
Oh, Lord, you searched me.
Yes, Lord.
You know my way. Even when I fail you, I know you love me. Your holy presence surrounding me. In every season, I know you love me. I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
Amen. Sing that chorus again, if you would.
At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this.
There's no greater love than this. Hallelujah.
You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
Hallelujah. Jesus tore the veil, temple, but even more importantly, his own flesh was torn. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. He took the whipping, the punishment that we deserved. And by his wounds, say it with me, and by his wounds, I am healed. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Spend some time right now thinking about the cross. Thinking about the sacrifice, the depth of that love, the depth of that love, that God would come to earth all the way from heaven, take upon himself the form of a man, but not just a man, but a servant, and then humble himself unto death, but not just any death, but the death of the cross. Paid the highest price for the highest prize, and that is the souls of mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world. Say it with me. For God so loved the world. So loved the world. So loved the world that he gave the greatest treasure of heaven. How deep is that love? One more time, Matthew. At the cross.
At the cross I bow my Your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
I want you to know today that God is interested in renewing your life. The Lord sent me here today and filled me with this message to tell you that God is never going to quit on you. To tell me that if you need more of the Holy Spirit, to tell you, excuse me, that if you need more of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How do you become refreshed? How do you become renewed? How does your zeal get boosted? and strengthened. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. When the disciples were frightened and hiding behind closed doors, Jesus came through the closed doors and breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then when they were waiting for Pentecost, these people who their lives were torn upside down through the events of what happened at the crucifixion of Christ. It turned their world upside down. But after waiting on God for 10 days, the Holy Spirit came and filled them, and the world has never been the same. Hallelujah. Because the zeal of Christ became the zeal of the first church. The passion of Jesus became the passion of the apostles. And there is no excuse. Every believer needs passion. It doesn't matter whether you're loud or extroverted or introverted. That's not what I'm saying. But don't lose your zeal for Jesus. Don't lose your first love. Don't become discouraged. God will lift you up. Hallelujah. Pastor Andrew, you have something you want to share?
Actually, I do. I can't get that story out of my mind about the opera tickets. And I was thinking that, you know, before this pandemic, I think the enemy used a lot of things that were distractions, like pleasures, recreation, sports. Not that any of those things are wrong, but they took us away from our passion for God. And we had passion for our team. We had passion for Disney. We had passion to make money. But this pandemic has changed things. But now I see a little different thing happening. I see the obstacles, the weariness, the depression, the discouragement, the hopelessness is trying to distract us and take away our passion. So whatever it is for you this morning, I pray, because we need the Holy Spirit. We need, you know, Jesus said to his disciples, I guess the way the Lord ministers to me is he gives me like a chill. I have a chill. That he said, wait in Jerusalem till you get the power from on high. He knew that they were going to miss his physical presence on the earth. He knew that there were times that were persecuting. He knew that they might become discouraged because of the way. And he said, wait, because I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. I say to you this morning, fan the flame of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's how we get passion. It's not even just a wish list. Oh, I want to be passionate. Look, I am a type A, would you say, personality. I get excited about things. But I also get really bummed out when things don't go my way. I'm not talking about that kind of passion. I'm talking about the passion of the Holy Spirit that burns in our spirit, that says, Lord, no matter what price we have to pay, no matter what we go through, we know you're victorious, and we're going forward in you. We are going forward in you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you for what you did on Calvary, Lord.
Amen. And Lord, right now, we repent, oh God, of our weakness, our weariness, our complaining. Come on, we've all done it. I'm doing this for myself, but I'm not trying to tell you, because I don't know what's going on in your heart, but I do know in my heart there's times I've felt sorry for myself, times where I wanted to quit, times where I said things I shouldn't. There's just so many ways I need to repent right now. The Bible says when you have this communion, let a man or a woman look at their hearts. Let them examine themselves. So let the unfiltered truth of God right now penetrate your heart, the light of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for holding that grudge. Why am I jealous of other people, Lord? Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. Lord, you overcame all the sin. You were tempted in all points as we are, yet you did not give in to sin. So we can overcome too today by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And because you rose from the dead, we are also ascended and seated with Christ in heavenly places. Right now, Father, we thank you for this bread, what it represents, the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We hold this up to you, Lord. In remembrance of you, we say thank you for allowing your body to be pierced and and whipped and beaten and betrayed and shamed, to carry our sin and shame, our judgment, the judgment that we deserve, fell upon you. And now we are free. Hallelujah. Because of you, Jesus. We do this now. We take this emblem of your broken body in remembrance and with gratitude in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you that Jesus, suffering in his humanity on that cross, there was no pretty way. There was nothing except he had the passion of God to fulfill his destiny. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you for the blood you shed for us, Lord, that it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. There's no place we can go that we can escape, Lord, where your blood is effective, where you are effective. So we thank you, Lord, for those that are maybe on the mountaintops this morning, or for those that are down in the valley, for those, Lord, who seem to be sinking, Lord, you throw a lifeline. I see a picture of a lifeline coming to you who feel like you're sinking. I see a tube on a string being thrown out to you. It's a lifeline. It's a lifeline. Take the lifeline from God today. Take the sacrifice of God today. Hallelujah. And we thank you for this precious blood. I thank you for it, Lord. As we take it in remembrance of the greatest gift ever given to this world. And that it symbolizes, Lord, that we remember it until you come. It also shows us that you're coming again. Jesus is coming again. That message doesn't go out enough. The message that we are living in the end times. Be ready, and remember his death until he comes. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Let's stand together. Sing it with us. God, we praise you. We praise you. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that everyone in this audience, everyone by Facebook, would focus on guarding their passion and renewing their passion this week. Guard your passion for Jesus. Renew your passion for Jesus. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday. God bless you. Thank you for coming.